Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, make your presence known to us this morning. Open our hearts and our ears and our minds so that we can hear your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Now hear the word of God. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what it is, the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. According to the working of his great power, God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it's almost Thanksgiving. If any of you are wondering about that, we have four more days before it's Thanksgiving. And this year, things are a little bit, just a smidge different than they normally are. I'm probably understating that for a little bit. Things are a lot different. I've never experienced a Thanksgiving like the one that we are experiencing right now. And it may be hard. Some of us might be struggling to try to figure out what is it that we can be grateful for in this season of Thanksgiving. And so I was thinking about this. And I was like, what can I be thankful for? And whenever I think of Thanksgiving, there's this one story I think about, and it's about my grandmother. My grandmother Locke, and she was my mother's mom. And so she taught me a lot of the things that I love. She taught me about gardening, because I spent a lot of time with her. So she was out in the yard a lot, and I was out there with her. She taught me about cooking. She was a fabulous cook. So she taught me a few things, and people would actually purchase cakes from her this time of the year. So she was baking a lot. I would go to spend time with her, and she would actually pull a chair up to the stove to let me stir as she was cooking, which I can't imagine doing that now. I had a 5 or a 6 year old, and that's about how old I was when she was letting me do this. But she let me do this. And then her sister would come to visit my aunt, and they would let me participate in making peanut brittle and divinity and pulling taffy. I learned all kinds of stuff and got to taste some really great things from there. So fast forward many years, and I'm in my late 30s, early 40s, and it's early November, and I'm going to be cooking the Thanksgiving meal for at least my parents. And so I go back to what we all do, is we all have this idea or this menu that we have whenever we get together as a family. So I was trying to duplicate my grandmother's menu. And so I had most of those recipes, but I realized I was missing something. And also understand another thing. There are two families, two types. There's stuffing families and there are dressing families. And I could create an argument right now if I started talking about which one's best, so I'm not gonna do that. They all have their merit and I appreciate both, but in my family, I come from a dressing family. So I had to make the dressing, and it couldn't be any dressing. It had to be the dressing, my grandmother's dressing. And so I thought, well, I'm going to get this recipe. I couldn't get it from my grandmother. Her health was failing. She was in a nursing home. Her hearing wasn't as good. And to be totally honest with you, if I had to call her for a recipe, I'd get something like, well, just put enough milk in it till it looks right. Or cook it till it's done. I would get that kind of stuff from her, and that didn't help when you're trying to follow a recipe. So I called my mom, and I said, hey, I need Grandmama's dressing recipe. And she says, I don't have it. I just always go up to her house and get it out of the freezer whenever I want it. Call your sister. Called my sister. Same thing. She said, call our aunt. Her name is Judy. I called Judy. Same thing. I get the dressing from her freezer. Call another aunt. I called her because she helps her make it, I found out. And she told me, well, you know, as your grandmother got older, she couldn't really lift that heavy bowl anymore. So she had everything prepped, and I would just go there and we'd put it all together. So I couldn't begin to tell you what the recipe is. And I couldn't believe it. Here I was thinking that I was going to get my grandmother's recipe, and all these people who've had her dressing for all these years, I grew up eating it, and not a single one of us had the recipe. We just all go to the freezer and get it out of there. And so I made an appointment with my aunt, the one that helped her put it all together. And she made a really, really big batch of dressing. I measured everything. And then I had to figure out how to make that an individual serving for a family, a normal-sized family, not our entire family. And I have the recipe now. Thank goodness. I'm so grateful for that. And the reason I'm telling you about that is because that dressing is more than just dressing for me. That's a symbol of something. It's a symbol of my grandmother because it reminds me of her. Every time I eat that dressing, I think about her. And I think about her great love for me and my family, that she would spend hours keeping her freezer stocked with dressing. So at any time that any of us wanted dressing, we could just go there and get it. That's how much she loved us, that she loved me. And I remember that, and I'm grateful for that. But I'm also grateful for more than that with my grandmother. I'm grateful for the strong woman that she was, the example she set for me and my family, and also the importance she put into being a part of a church body like this one. She made sure her children were raised in the church and they had the opportunity to know about God. And then my mother made sure that her children were raised in the church and had the opportunity to know about God. They're the reasons why I'm sitting here today. It's because they helped with that foundation. And God worked through them to get to me. And so it was great. And that's what I'm grateful for. When I really think about what are you grateful for this Thanksgiving and every Thanksgiving, I'm grateful for that. And Paul is telling us today in this passage something similar. He starts off this letter by thanking the people of Ephesus, not only for their faith in Christ, but also for the great love that they are showing to the rest of their church body. And Paul is grateful for that. He's grateful that he has those people there. And it's something we can think about because, you know, we're a church body and we love each other, but we don't always agree with each other. Is that a fair statement? That we don't always agree with each other? But we do love each other, and I think we give thanks for each other because we see what this body of Christ means to us. So that's one thing we can be grateful for, this Thanksgiving season. We can also be grateful for our families, because this Thanksgiving is a time you typically spend with your family. Sometimes that can be a little tricky. Maybe not for y'all, but for me sometimes. And Desmond Tutu said something very interesting about families. He said, you don't choose your family. They're God's gift to you, and you are their gift. So it's a kind of a two-way street. So when I think about that, it's like, okay, my family is a gift for me, but also I have something to give them. The same is true for the church body. We're a gift to each other. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. So that's another thing, a huge thing, that we can be thankful for today. But if you're still not quite there with me, and you need a little more encouragement to find something to be thankful for, Psalm 100 is a great place for us to go. It is a psalm of thanksgiving, and it says this: make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So that reminds us that today is Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate that Christ is our King. We celebrate that the Lord is God, that the Lord is good, that the Lord's love endures forever, and the Lord is faithful to all generations. So no matter what our Thanksgiving may look like this year, maybe you lost that dressing recipe and you're sitting around the table and you don't have it this year. Or maybe you can't celebrate with your families the way you typically do. Or maybe you've lost your job or your income is really suffering because of everything we're going through. Maybe there's someone that you love, or maybe it's you yourself, that's suffering from an illness. Maybe you're missing someone that you love. There's going to be an empty chair at the table this year. Or you're feeling isolated or lonely. Or if you're just like me and you're sick and tired of COVID and what it means to us right now, we still have reasons to celebrate and be thankful. First and foremost, we have Christ our King, which if we have nothing else, that in itself is something to celebrate. And then we also have this wonderful body that's Kingswood, our church home, these people that love each other, that love us, that love me. So we should think about it. What is it that we can be grateful for this year? And a lot of people, they look at me and they say, you know, Dondre, you've lost a lot. And I have. But I'm not going to focus on what I've lost. I'm going to be grateful for what I had and that I had it. There's something to celebrate. I'm going to be grateful for what I currently have, because I have a lot. I have so much. And I'm going to be grateful for the future I have, the future I have to hope for, the future with Christ the King. Because Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my King. And I think that's wonderful and something to celebrate. So this week and in weeks to come, let's think about what we're grateful for. We all have Christ our King. We all have Kingswood as our home. But we also have other things. Write them down. Think about the people in your lives that you're grateful for. Maybe send them a note and tell them that you're thankful for them. And then remember that we have a hope for a future with Christ our King. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for all the reasons we have to be grateful this Thanksgiving. Help us to move past any disappointments we may have, to remember that you are Christ our King, and help us to celebrate you today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.